Thank you, Keith. Morning, everybody. It's just lovely to be here. We had a lovely day yesterday with all these beautiful young people in your hall as we considered the subject of the Lord is my shepherd. And we had some lovely sisters working in the kitchen, struggling with the oven to make sure everything was cooked evenly and at the right time. And even Richard was in there somewhere, and Russell, I'm not sure whether they were getting in the way or they seemed to be helping and doing a good job to me. And actually David and Darren were conspicuous by their absence from the kitchen yesterday as the sisters were working hard to serve us. And I want to think this morning about a continuation of that theme of the Lord is my shepherd by thinking from John chapter 10 about the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. And to explore this, we first have to open up this word good, because it really means lovely and beautiful. He was a beautiful shepherd. He is a lovely shepherd. I'm sure it encapsulates all those qualities and capabilities and skills of being a good, capable shepherd up on those hillsides. But principally it means that he is a lovely shepherd. Let's turn to John chapter 10. And let's look at verse 13. Because here is the principal characteristic of being a lovely shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse 13. Talking of the hired shepherd in comparison, he flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. To be a lovely shepherd, you have to care. You have to care for those who are under your control. You have to care for those for whom you have responsibility, with whom you spend each hour of every day. And the sisters yesterday were lovely in the way that they served together in the most organised manner I have ever seen, with a three-pronged row of attack up to the serving hatch with a front line, a midfield and a defence, as they had everything passing from the cooker with a new pie needed and a new jug of gravy working its way up the line seamlessly, a little bit better than Liverpool played yesterday, putting the jug in front of the player so it could be delivered to the hatch in time. They were lovely. Richard was too, I have to say. It was lovely that Russell came in the afternoon to preside for a session and to serve the tables of the young people with fresh juice, which was running out and refilling their jugs, not so that they overflowed. Psalm 23, you just got it right. That was lovely. I spent some time with David yesterday, who presided for my first session. Struck by the warmth of your character. He's lovely. Darren, I'm still thinking about. So we think of the good shepherd. And I ask you, brothers and sisters and young people, are you good? Not in the sense of good master, what thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, my Father in heaven. Not that good. But are you lovely? Do you care? Do you care? Verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. We've got to understand this word lay down. I think in the AV here it's give, and later on it's lay down. And it really is the word to place, to put, to put in a horizontal position. It's a passive thing to do. I'm giving in the sense of laying down before you my life. It reminded me of one you might see on Remembrance Day when a wreath of poppies is just laid down. Or the sister who prepared the table just laid the cups and the plates down in place. Presented them almost. And when we think about this word life, it's a deep, deep word. Far too deep for me to understand. Psuche. It literally, it's breath. But it means life as well. It can mean ego. It can mean self. It can mean soul. And so we are, the Good Shepherd is putting his breath. But that's hard to understand, isn't it? Putting his breath. We understand it in the sense of he's putting his life down. In that he died for us. But the Lord God is not interested in death. Except for one reason, for the salvation of our sins, which has happened. But he doesn't want us dead. He wants us alive. And he wants us alive forevermore. And he wants us alive now with abundance. So laying down your life is more than just death. Psuche. Everything about you, everything that comes from within, like your breath, your abilities, your energy, everything that he had, he put at the service and the disposal of his good shepherd. Psuche can also mean self. Because it's possible. Put everything of your talents and your abilities and your time and energy at the service of another, but still not to care. And so psuche also means to put yourself, me, everything about me, and to place it at the disposal of another. And then the Lord went and died for the salvation of our sins. He placed his psuche at the feet of his Lord and Shepherd. Verse 17. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. It is because the Son was prepared to place his psuche at his Father's disposal and die at the end, that his Father loved him. Because in placing everything about himself at the disposal of another, he made himself lovely. He made himself lovable. And the Father was able to love the Son because the Son was placing everything about himself at the disposal of the Father. And it's hard not to love someone when they are lovely and lovable. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. I placed my psuche. I loved others. And so he is lovely, and therefore his Father loves him. Are you lovely? Are you lovable? In order that the Father can love you. do you care? Let's look at it from the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 14. Because that's the eyes of the Father. I see my lovable Son, and therefore I love him. John chapter 14, and the last verse, verse 31. You see, he's Jesus. I know I'm loved by my Father. I know it. Verse 31, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. I know that the Father loves me, and I love him, because he is my Lord and my good shepherd, which means that I shall not want. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. I love my good shepherd. But people have to know that I love my Father. Therefore, I do as the Father has commanded me. So that it is self-evident, not just to my Father, but to everybody who sees me and knows me, that I am demonstrating my love for my Father. I do. So when you build on that in the next chapter, in John chapter 15, and he says words that you've already referred to, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And a dead friend is of not much use to a friend. But placing your suke, your talents, your abilities, your energy, your time, in a caring way for your friends, is the greatest love that can be shown. And thankfully the Lord took it one step further to die as well as he was asked. Greater love has no one than this, that someone places their suke for his friends. Here's the hard bit. You are my friends if you do what I command you. You see, the ball is now in our court. We have seen the love that the Father has for the Son, and we've seen the response in the Son in placing his suke for the Father, and that manifestation of that love is evident for us all to see. And now he's asked us to do the same thing, that we love one another. To follow his command. The ball is in our court. So I ask you again. The lovely shepherd has placed his suke there for me. Do I care? Do I care what he has done? Does it move me into action? As I stand at the foot of the cross, at this demonstration of his love, do I care? And do I want people to know that I love him? If I do care, and I want to hear his voice and follow him, do I want people to know that I love him? Well, if I do, then I have to follow Jesus' example in chapter 14, which is to go and do. Arise, let us go from here, let us do, so that people can see that we do love our Father. To be caring, to be lovely, to be lovable, to place our suke at his service. So when you come back to John chapter 10, And verse 17 again. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I place my souke, that I might take it up again. And no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it again. And this charge I have received from my Father. We should be in no doubt whatsoever, says the Lord Jesus Christ, that this is a self-sacrifice. Yes, I was asked to do it, but I chose to do it. I had the freedom of whether I did it or not. I had the authority to choose. I had the right. I had the privilege. The AV rendering of power there is incorrect. It is right. It is authority. It is privilege. And brothers and sisters, at the opening of John's Gospel, and young people, at the opening of John's Gospel, he says, I give you the right to become the sons of God. We have the freedom, the privilege, and the right to love one another. We have the freedom and the privilege and the right to show the Father that we love him. We have the freedom and the privilege and the right to show others that we love him. We have the freedom and the privilege and the right to lay down our life, to place our souke at his service and be an example to the rest of the flock. Psalm 23 to close. If you care what the Lord Jesus has done for you, you will exercise that authority and that right. And it'll be a privilege to place your souke at his disposal. In verse 5, the psalmist says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You see, I'm surrounded by thieves and robbers, hired shepherds, people that will lead me not in the paths of righteousness. I'm surrounded by the voice of self. And it is that self which I have to place before the Lord. And it is knowing our frame and knowing our human nature and knowing our tendency to be selfish and at times uncaring and at other times very unlovable that the Lord says, I have prepared a table for you. And I'm going to anoint your head because I've chosen you and given you the right to be my sons and daughters. And I'm going to follow you with goodness, blessings, and mercy, forgiveness, so that you know that I love you and I forgive you when self becomes too loud and too powerful, and you have nothing with which to place before me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you for your example of caring for these young people this week.